Turn your Bibles to the passage we read this morning, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to read the whole chapter as we did. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7, and then I'm going to turn over and read Galatians 5, verse 22. If you would stand for the reading of the Word, I'm going to talk today about the ability that no one wants. The ability that no one wants. And if you hear God's Word today, it can transform you. You say, I'm already saved. Yes, but maybe you need to be saved a little more from yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, I'll read verses 4 through 7 again, then turn over to Galatians 5 and verse 22. And we'll talk about the ability that no one wants. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name, we pray that you put this in our hearts and give us eyes to see as we truly should. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about the Olympics or in this congregation or listening to me online. The Olympics are a grand event, and they're a showcase of great sporting abilities from all around the world in different and difficult and exciting events. And each Olympiad that happens, the boundaries of the limits of human potential are pushed even further, and it's no wonder it captures the world's attention. Now, in our everyday world, beyond just the world of sports, in your mundane or exciting or a little bit of both world, and all throughout the course of life, there's all kinds and you see all sorts of different abilities from different people. And some of these are natural, and some are skills that have been developed through time and practice and experience. And when it comes to the Christian life, you see people that have even, you know, supernatural or spiritual abilities. Now, in any event, everybody has certain abilities, right? Everyone's going to develop certain abilities. Certain people, and everybody really has desires for certain abilities. I wish I could do this. I'm training to do this. I want to do this. I wish I could do how they did this. I'm going to learn how to do this. Abilities are part of everybody's life. No one denies that, right? I mean, we're just laying the groundwork here. But everybody talks about abilities. Everybody's got certain abilities, and you have certain ones, and you get older, and certain abilities you don't have anymore. Right? But there is an ability that no one wants. No one wants to have this ability. No one wants to experience this ability. No one wants anyone or anywhere else to have to deal with this ability. And yet we must all deal with this ability. Everyone has this ability. Everyone experiences this ability. And we all see this ability demonstrated personally, directly, and indirectly. Now, what is this ability that no one wants? Perhaps you're becoming impatient with me. And you wish that I would just get to the point. Well, here it is. The ability that no one wants but everyone has is irritability. Irritability. It's a toxic poison that strains and even begins to ruin relationships. And irritability is something we all experience in us, you know, in you, towards you, and around you. Now, some of you have heard some of this because I've talked about this on Wednesday night and a little bit on Sunday school, but we are different this time. As you course through the Word of God and it courses through your veins, God opens it up even further to you. So I want you to listen up and not get irritable with the preacher. And when it comes in you, your skin gets thin and you get edgy, right? You know how it is. You're more bothered by the kinds of minor frustrations you ordinarily, shrug off. I mean, someone could be singing off-key, and you really don't give a crap, you know, pardon my language. Big deal, meh. But if you're all tensed up and irritable, then they sing just a little bit off, and you're just, right? Stop chewing that gum! Clap your hands on time! Or anything else. I dare say that during what we're preaching right now, you will be challenged as to this ability. And too many people have mastered this ability, and I have been guilty of that. But you know how it is. You're more aggressive than usual, and you snap at people, and you're sharp-tongued and short-tempered with them. And I don't mean just because I'm small. You're all too ready to chastise people, and others tread lightly when they see that you are in that mood. Now, when it comes towards you, you're tempted to withdraw or turn away, right? You might look at your phone or some other distraction, and you might try to escape to another room, or perhaps you might lash back out at the one that you feel lashed out at you. So in you and towards you, and when it comes around you, you ever been in a room and someone else is being irritable with somebody else and all that? Oh, no, that's never happened. It pollutes the emotional atmosphere, right? It's like a toxic cloud of negativity and stress, and it just negatively impacts the entire room, the office, the household, the classroom, the family room, the church. People think, you know, I just need to get something done. That does not increase productivity. As a matter of fact, a toxic atmosphere creates poison performance. You might have heard me say that before. You people that are bosses need to think about that. Oh, it might get someone to get off their butt and get what you want done right now, but you wait and see. They won't come to work early anymore. They'll leave at 5:01, baby. Every single vacation day, flex time, every single, you know, sick day, everything like that, they will max that out, you know? And you can be sure they're going to be asking for a raise when they went a couple years without asking. This irritability has a way of just seeping through to a whole organization and in a church. And if that's happened from me to you, I ask your forgiveness. And irritability heightens your emotional senses and your triggers. You got a poisoned perception. It's so hyper aware that even the slightest movement or noise might make you react. Right? You had a hard time getting here. People gave you this, that, rah, rah. Someone said, nice thing, rah, rah, and just got on your case. Now you're just, rah, and someone just flips the page. Would you stop flipping the page so loud? I mean, come on. We know how it is, right? I mean, you want all that noise. You want bombs going off so you can fall asleep. And yet someone just, you know, do I have to explain irritability? No. You're making me irritable. You're ready to pounce, acting as if something you hold precious is under attack when there's really no threat at all. Irritability burdens others because harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1, right? I seriously doubt if there's anyone here or anyone ever that doesn't deal with some sort of effects of irritability on a daily basis. But is there something we can do, anything we can do, at least on our side, in terms of making yourself less prone to personal irritability? And thankfully there is. I'm going to show you this today, and we're going to work through a plan, and then I'm going to give you something you can do today. Amen? 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 But we're going to need to lay some ground rules here, some groundwork. First thing is you have to own it. You got to own it. You got to admit that your irritability is a sin. I'm going to show you that because you're going to say, but God gets provoked. Hold on. We're going to go there. I want to go there. I don't want to shy away from these questions and then have you come back later and go, well, what about this? What about this? Let's answer the best we can. But you got to own that thing. You got to admit that irritability is a sin, and when you do it, when you sin like that, you can't just blame it on someone or something else. You might think that if they or this were different, I wouldn't be irritated. But then you know what? You got to lock yourself up in a room. And even then, you'll get irritated. I mean, I've been irritated when someone's standing on the street corner the wrong way. They're giving away a bad influence. You're looking at me funny. Right? Yes. Because that's inside of us. It's what's inside of us that everything else is making it happen that way. And you start imagining things. Ooh, the people back there are doing this. Ooh, that's irritating me. Right? But Paul says, think about what we read. Irritability is a failure to love. That's a verb there. That's not a feeling. God says love is not irritable. Love is not irritable. And the fruit of the Spirit is patience. They are connected. But now, on the front of your bulletin today, it says God is love, 1 John 4:16. You also find that in 1 John 4:8. So if God is love and love is not irritable, how can God be provoked to anger? You find that in places like Isaiah 5:25. You know, they provoke the Holy One to anger and all that. And you get people that are clever and say, well, you know, the King James Version says, is not easily provoked, but the easily is in italics, so that it wasn't originally there. And so it should be say, is not provoked. But that is not true. That's the thing about translation. When you're going from Greek to English, the word for word is not always the... It's not as simple as you think it is. People that try to pass it off that way don't know Greek. Period. They know words. They can do word study. They don't understand it. I don't want to get into all that, but the point is what does this mean when he says love is not irritable, love is not easily provoked? The answer is that in 1 Corinthians 13:5, Paul's addressing the short fuse. And again, I ain't talking about me being 5'2". But it sounds like I am, doesn't it? Anyway. He's talking about being too quickly or too easily provoked to anger. That's why the ESV uses the word irritable and why the KJV rightly says easily provoked. God can be provoked to anger, but it's slow in coming, and it's never irritable. He only gets angry for the right reasons, and his anger is always expressed in the right way. Like God, you should be slow to anger, James 1:19. At certain times, you should be angry, but you shouldn't be sinful in your anger, Ephesians 4:26. Now, a very good example of this, and I do want us to turn over to that, and that'll be the last place we turn over to, is Acts chapter 16. In case you don't know this story, I'm just going to break into it and read verses 16 through 18. This is Paul and Silas. You probably know the story about them being in prison and them praising the Lord and then shaking the ground and then breaking out of the jail. This is before this. This is part of why they were thrown in jail. Paul says, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." That sounds good, doesn't it? And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out the very hour. And of course, they got in trouble for that because this lady was making the people a lot of money. And so what's going on there? The Apostle Paul became very annoyed, but it wasn't irritability. His righteous anger was directed at the evil because the Spirit guiding the woman was using the truth that they were telling of salvation truthfully, but to subtly thwart God's will and purpose. She was making a spectacle of herself and all that. And people say, "Oh, that's cool, and then wouldn't listen to what they say. You get that? Sometimes when you just parade, people don't hear the rest of it. Yeah. Right? We're into it, and it's good. Yay, amen! But there's other people that have got to get down into this thing. It's like you're saying, you're watching a movie. This is so good. I saw this, and then this happened. Shut up. You're making me irritated. Give me my $8.89 because I got the senior price yesterday or whatever. I was like, yeah, all right. Then I thought, no, not all right. They didn't even ask. But I'm going to Bell's on Tuesday and getting my 15% off. I can tell you that right now. Before Margie comes back. Anyway. We were buying curtains, and I was like, "Do we use the Kohl's cash? We earn that." She goes, "If you want to. Otherwise, you're going to have to take me shopping when you get back." I go, "The church will get the $20. Anyway, I was becoming irritated. I'm making light of this because the fact is we got to put it out there. It is very serious, but there is something we can do about it. But we need to understand. We need to filter this out in our head, this idea of you can't be angry if you're a Christian. That's not true at all, that you can't get annoyed and things like that. Paul was very annoyed, but God still used this to further the kingdom. You read that, and we talked about it from verse 19 following, you know, the Philippian jailer and all that. Now, Jesus knew anger. You know, we talk about the fact that he flipped over the money changers' tables. He did that more than once. He did it twice, at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. That wasn't sinful anger, but righteous anger. Jesus was indignant over the idolatry against God and the injustice against people. They were ripping him off. Now, in Mark 3, verses 1 through 5, you see Jesus was angry at the Pharisees because they dishonored God and they hindered his work, refusing to show compassion to people. But it says Jesus was grieved in his heart and then he lashed out at them. He saw the devastating effect of sin on their lives. You know what? When you see immorality and injustice like what we had happen in Florida, you know, South Florida this weekend, you should be angry. It should stir you up. But you shouldn't go on Facebook and someone says, we shouldn't get rid of guns, and then you're getting all irritable and all that, trying to prove your point. You're just parading around your bitterness, anger, and your own issues. You need to move forward. I got to tell you this. If it gets bad enough, they'll call me, okay? You know? I'm in touch with God. You know what he says? He says, focus on you, Bubba. Again, politics and all that. Yeah, we need to do that. I understand all that. But you and your harping little voice like that, we got to do this, we got to do that, and it's not, oh, I've never thought about that. See, I'm getting irritated, am I? See how easy it sneaks in? But you should be angry because the effects these things have on people. But like Jesus, it should be a grieving anger. Practicing righteous anger means reacting against actual sin, being more concerned with the offense against God instead of the offense against yourself, and expressing your anger in ways consistent with Christian character. That's different than pride and selfish irritability. Christian, you need to change if this is you, because it's a bad witness to be known for flying off the handle when you don't get things your way. That's horrible. Then people know that. That's what they know you for, not that you're a Christian. Oh, he's a Christian, or they'll attach it to that. This is the way Christians are. Maybe that's not fair. But that's what happens, is it not? You're not going to go to the next level in management if you don't figure this out. You have got all the talent in the world, but you've got to harness that talent instead of letting that talent harness you. Can you hear me? Does that make sense to you? A little business knowledge for you. That's life knowledge too, folks. You see, irritability is never rooted in righteousness. It springs out of selfishness. Now, I was reading this article on Desiring God. You know, it's John Piper's ministry, and they had an article called Lay Aside the Weight of Irritability. Now, listen to this. This is pretty good stuff. It says, you get irritated when something you want is being denied, delayed, or disrupted. It says, when I'm weary, I want rest. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. When I'm sick or in pain, I want relief. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. When I'm preoccupied, I want uninterrupted focus. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. When I'm running late, I want to avoid appearing negligent. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. Let me just get in on that. You know how it is. You know how many lights there are from your house to Quest Diagnostics? And you've got to get there before all the old people get there so you can get your blood taken and not wait all day? But then you get light after light after light after light, and then everybody seems to be driving like an idiot. Why is that? You got irritated because something you want to get in and get out before all the blue hairs is getting delayed, denied, disrupted. By the way, you're becoming one of those. At least I hope you are, because I hope you make it that far. But getting irritated all the time is going to give you an ulcer, and you might not make it that far. Let me read that one again. When I'm running late, I want to avoid appearing negligent. I heard that. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. Now, when I'm disappointed, what I want is I want my desire fulfilled. But if it's denied, delayed, or disruptive, I get irritated. When I'm fearful, I want to escape from a threat. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. When I'm uncertain, I want certainty, preferably a reassuring certainty. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. When I'm enjoying something, I want to continue until I wish to be done. Let me say that one, just start. When I'm enjoying something, I want to continue until I wish to be done. But if it's denied, delayed, or disrupted, I get irritated. And I snap back at my mom and dad. Now, I added this bit. Now we're coming back out from all the parents go, yeah. I added this little bit. This is a little personal. When I've been pouring my heart and life out, counseling and helping someone, I want to see them trend the right way. But when they deny, delay, disrupt the process by refusing to act upon what I've tried to teach them, and yet they continue to ask me to bail them out, or they blame me for their continuing problems, I get irritated. You keep offering me problems, but you don't help me with solutions, I get irritated. But let's be honest. Irritability is unloving. It's unrighteous anger because it's selfish response to an obstacle of your desire. What you desire may not be sinful, but a selfish response in its denial, delay, or disruption is a failure to trust God at all times. And often it's a failure to value, love, and serve another human made in the image of God. I'm talking about people that are unbelievers as well. How are you going to build that bridge? Well, Jesus is this. Jesus is that. They're not, you know what they're hearing first? They're hearing it. You don't even want to talk to me. You just want to make your point. Okay, I'll sign your card. I'll say, yeah, Jesus, just to get you out of here. See how that happens? Ladies, don't beat your men up. the worth of the soul that you're irritable with is infinitely more precious to God than the thing you desire. You dishonor God by being irritable with them. There are necessary times for loving anger, no doubt. But there's never a right time for irritability. Love is not irritable. Now remember, that's a verb, because we're going to get to the solution here. Love is not irritable. So, after a lifetime of indulging selfish irritation, anybody? Liars? Everybody? Yes. Be honest. How can you intercept it when it happens? How can you find a way to hold it back before it happens? All right? So we're going to go through some things, and then I'm going to straight right hand. First, find the source and repent. You got to try to do this even when you're in the middle of acting out. I've been trying this. It works. You got to ask yourself and ask God what it is that you desire that's being denied, delayed, or disrupted. Finding out the source is an important step. Not the source and who did that? Who did what? That's what made me irritated. No, no, no. But rather, what is being delayed, denied, or disrupted, and why is this especially irritating me? It's not the guy that always drives 35 miles an hour that is making me irritated. It's the fact that I didn't take enough time to get to the, right? What's delayed, denied, disrupted is I'm not going to get there on time, and it's this joker's fault, I think, but the fault lies with me. And your reactions might feel really complex in the moment, but the issue that triggered them might be very simple. You just don't want to be late. Now you're going to be late and they're going to think you're an idiot. You're going to lose your place in line and now, oh man. And you can repent of the sin of acting irritable. You'll get better at this as you keep doing it. I'm telling you, I'm getting better at it. Don't test me, please. But you're going to find certain things that won't trigger you like they used to. You'll find certain things, and it happened to me right when we were worshiping today. Something was very much irritating me. And I very much prayed about it, and it very much went away. Thank you, Jesus. Find the source and repent. Second thing, find a verse and trust. God is able to make all grace abound unto you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe through grit teeth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe. You got to combat your areas of temptation to irritation. You got to preach to yourself. We've been saying that a lot lately. It's true. You got to get focused on the big picture. You know, usually that instant irritability that you have is about smaller annoyances that you probably won't remember in a few days or weeks. So the problem is in your irritable nature. Okay? You got to work on that. You got to remind yourself that God is for you and remember that gratefulness can answer grumpiness. So you find that source and repent. You find that verse and trust. You find a reason to obey. Remember, now, this is big. Your emotions are gauges, not guides. Your emotions are gauges, not guides. You need to obey the truth about what God says instead of the truth of what you're feeling right now. Yes, you are feeling irritable. Yes, you admit it, but you admit that it's sin and say, God, you're saying that person's made in the image of God and I can see them through the eyes of Jesus. God loves you right then, no matter how sour you feel. You see what I'm saying? See how he's doing to you? You tend to treat other people like you think God's treating you. So you need to remember how God really is treating you. He loves you, no matter how sour you are. You need to imagine him giving you a big old hug. Right? Now, I could take my little Olive, my little eighth grandchild that just got born on Tuesday, February 13th. Hello, Margie. I miss you, honey, and all of you. And if I was there, and the first time I see her, if she explodes on my face with one side or the other, I will not become irritable. I'll take it as a badge of honor and be happy. Yes, I will clean it off. But yes, I will laugh about it, right? Why would I get irritated? You're not, come on, you need to start walking. Really? She's like less than a week old, whatever. And so you got to get yourself in perspective like that. Get the big picture. Imagine God giving you a big hug. And remember that sometimes the little things are the big reasons you get irritable. It shouldn't make you irritable, but they actually do. For example, you might become irritable about some church event or leisure or sporting activity if others are just too casual about it. Right? You scream to yourself or maybe out loud, why are we even doing this? Be honest with yourself about what's bothering you. Simply acknowledging that you're irritable can help take the edge off. And don't let irritation reign in you. Don't let sin, irritation, reign in your mortal body. As you obey 1 Corinthians 13:5 with your heart, and you say, love does is not irritable, you find your emotions will eventually follow. Eventually, love obeys, John 14:15. You find that reason, right? You find the source and you repent. You find a verse to trust. You find a reason to obey. You find a plan to follow. See, intentionality can be a weapon against irritability. Think about it. When are you frequently irritable? I know when it is for me. It's when I'm low on sugar. My wife will say, you need to eat a candy bar. You need to eat something because you are not being nice. And she found that out by listening to my dad. Right? My mom would say, David, you have not taken that pill. I know. Why? Because you're being surly. Or whatever, 1960s, 50s language or whatever. My wife is a little different than that. But anyway. I love you, Margie. I love you. Ask that question to people that know you best. When are you frequently irritable? And based on the answer, they might say, all the time. Right? You got to put into place some systems and habits that remove irritable stumbling blocks from your path. This is a holistic type of thing. You got to pursue the escape that's offered by the Lord. People say, God never gives you more than you can handle. He always gives you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, 11, 13, all that is talking about he never gives you so much that you have to sin because of it. No matter how irritable everybody else is, if you're not an irritated person, then you're not going to show that irritability. But no matter how walking on eggshells everybody is, if you're in an irritated state, you're going to find a reason to be irritable. I'm irritated because no one's irritating me. That sounds silly, but have you not seen it like that? Have you not felt it like that? Have you not had that around you? Yes, you have. You got to take advantage of the grace of planning. Planning. So along that line, here's some factors for fighting irritability. Then we're really going to get to it. Diet. Like I said before, I've determined that when my blood sugar is high or low, if it's out of whack, I get irritable. I explain that to my wife, and she can attest to this. Not only irritability itself, but my study and sense of it. She knows. We talked about this. Let's figure this out. Identifying that has been a big help in battling it. She's like, did you eat lunch? No. Okay, go into the office till I finish dinner. No, we can talk later. Yeah, honestly. It might not be blood sugar related for you, but too much caffeine during the day can be a source of irritability for many people, and I don't just mean coffee, Mountain Dew. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing at 40 years old drinking energy drinks anyway? See, now I'm getting all nasty, you know? Yeah, you're a monster, rock star and all that? Who do you? You're an accountant. Just stay an accountant. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. Boy, I could go on video games right now, but I won't do it. Somebody might get irritated and throw a rock at me, but anyway. Too much caffeine, things like that, can be a source of irritability. Consider cutting back. Other dietary factors, you need to go with your doctor. Don't dismiss that. It could be something that simple. It could be, psychological, physiological, biological. It could be these things. Another thing is sleep. When you don't have enough rest, your body knows it. That's what's getting delayed, disrupted, or denied. You're not having it, so you're irritable. We all know who that is. Mamas. Yeah. I mean, here's my precious red Mandy, and she's had her fourth child, and she's got a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old, and a 2-year-old, hello, and then the few days old. And so let's just imagine. I'm helping you, Mandy. That little Olive is doing all this, and it's like, okay, I've got to tend to Olive, and now Margie's not there, Grandma's not there, so Vera starts acting up because she's been getting the attention because Grandma's been helping out. Well, now Grandma's not there. And so it'd be very easy for a mommy who hasn't had any rest because new baby, no rest, period. That's all I've ever heard. And dad gets to sleep, but no, not always. But anyway, it would be very easy for her to get very irritable towards Vera, right? This is just natural. So what do you got to do? He's like, okay, well, I can't get any sleep. I'm a new mother. I understand that, but you got to think about that and think about what's going on, okay? But not having enough sleep, you're a guy and you stay up all night and you get up early and you think, you're a hero or something like that. But that creates an instant pattern of something your body wants and needs, whether you consciously realize that or not. A tired atmosphere creates a tempted and tense atmosphere. Exercise, that can be related to possible diet issues. Irritability activates your aggression. It might be a good idea just to take a walk. Some people say that, walk it off, man, right? Or take a run. If that's not possible, do some quick push-ups or planks. Rid yourself of that excess energy that might be fueling your irritability. If you're usually inside, get outside and get some fresh air if you can. Now, some of you can't exercise. I get that. How about quiet time? Find a quiet place to think about things or disengage from the commotion. Turn your phone off. Irritability. Why are you going to be in irritability? You're an irritable man. I'm just tired of the kids. I'm tired of this. And we don't have enough money. And this, that, and the other thing. And I get sick. And this. And oh, there's. And then you go on the internet. I'm just going to go on Facebook. They all just call it Fightbook. I mean, I'm serious now. I'm not mad at it. You know, there's some good things about it or whatever. But man, if there's things that you know that make you torqued, if you're a sad kind of person, don't listen to sad songs all the time. I do that. I started listening to some sad songs the other day, because 70s, you know me, I'm trapped in the 70s apparently. And I'm listening to some Alan Parsons Project, and I'm listening to this particular song that always made me cry, and Margie's not there, and I'm here I am, and I come home, and we were at, you know, the Spears, they had this big welcoming party, but I come home, and I'm got my little plate of, you know, square vegetables and all that, and I play the song, and it starts coming on me. And I just stood up and go, no, yeah. No, no, because if one of you would have called me at that time, you wouldn't have liked it. You see, you got to be honest with yourself and just say, look, you know, I can be above this. All this is about, but it doesn't have to define me. But irritability can be your mind's way of alerting you that you need a break. So take one. Listen to music. Pray. No, listen to the right music. Pray. Slow yourself down. Slow yourself down. Slow yourself down. Take a deep breath. Prepare yourself to re-engage so your system isn't shocked back into irritability once you re-enter the fray. You know, people go away for vacation to get re-breath, and they come back, and they're just as bad as they were. All right, a couple more, and then we're really, really, really going to go to it. Scheduling. You can't always control your time, but being a good steward of your time decreases your likelihood of being short-tempered with someone who makes inroads on your plans. But I can't help it. Work does this, that, and the other thing. Okay, then drop something. When you feel pressed for time, you're more vulnerable to irritability. Amen? That's true. You do have time, and you need to plan it, but you must not plan all of it. Let me say that again, workaholic. You do have time, and you do need to plan it, but you must not plan all of it. I don't have enough time for church. You lie. And even if you don't, make time. Sometimes you have to make time. You got to trust God has a plan for your time and will help you in the meantime. Expectations. Let me give you an equation. Anger equals unmet expectations. It's fueled by unmet expectations, and anger underlies irritability. A proper perspective, along with tempering your expectations, will mediate your tendency to tantrum. Think about Mary and Martha and Jesus, right? She was like, but this, but this, but this. He's like, she was irritable. She got irritable at Jesus. Jesus, aren't you going to do something about this? Don't we do that? Jesus, aren't you going to do something about this? No, you know, I'm busy over here doing something else. Right? Now, all that is well and good. And you should work on that as a plan. But as you work on that plan, let me boil it all down to one simple, powerful step. Because I'm sure that someone's going to be irritated and say, what can I do right now? Okay, let me help you. You can do this right now, today, and any day. But you're going to have to use your faith. If you really want to develop this, it's going to take practice and it's going to take prayer. But you can do it because God wants you to do it. Remember, love is not irritable. And he's given you the power to be able to do it. Remember the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You have the ability to overcome the ability that no one wants. So how do you do it? Okay, first you need to realize that irritability is related to impatience. And impatience is the opposite of patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And the truth is that you're much more patient and long-suffering with someone you love. So when it comes down to it, the antidote to irritability is love. Now, hold on. What does that look like? Well, let me say this. This is not the simple and the overall, I love this type of person type of love, although that helps. It's not just the I love this person, so I normally see them in the best possible light type of love, although you should. This is the right now I choose to exercise it kind of love. The 1 Corinthians 13:5 type of love. That's the answer. Now, when someone's irritating you, don't show them the irritated part of you. Show them the love part of you. Because the love part is the greater part. You're not just Mr. Irritated or Mrs. Irritated, are you? No, you have the love of Christ in you. That's the greater part. That's the truth. And that's the part that's going to last. And that's the part you want them to experience, right? Not the ability that no one wants to experience. Use your faith here now and see them through the eyes of Jesus. That's what love does. Use your faith and see them through the eyes of Jesus. That's what love does. And right now, that's what you can do also. You can pray. Here we go. You can pray that you start seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. This is what I'm asking you to do. You pray that, Lord, when you get up and you're preaching to yourself, because I hope you're doing that, I hope you're getting up and starting your day by preaching to yourself, listening to the breathing, reading table talk, and then eating your breakfast. Or eating it at the same time. You need to get yourself. There's so many other things bombarding you out there. How can you not prepare yourself spiritually? You have all the tools. You got to pray. You start seeing people with the eyes of Jesus. Because if you do that, if that happens, as you pray that, as you practice that, as you develop that, you can translate. You can transform the ability that no one wants into the one thing that everybody wants. That's the one thing everybody needs, and that's love. Heavenly Father, love is not irritable. But oftentimes, this pastor is irritable. And we all have to deal with irritability in our own souls, within our own lives, and all around us, and with other people. And we see it, and things foster that. Help us to foster a sense of love. Not just the, I love you, so I'm not going to get as irritated with you as someone I'm paying money to. Not just love as in, you know, usually do the right thing so I can help, you know, it's okay now. But the right now, no matter who they are, I see them with the eyes of Jesus, and I know how you see them. Lord Jesus, you're not irritated with them. Oh, they might not be making you happy right now. They might not be following you as good as they could, should, or would. They may not be your children. And yet you love them because God is love. Help us to take this one simple truth and burn it into our hearts and make it come out through our eyes that other people would see that we see them through the eyes of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.